Button has been pushed.
Oh shit.
Bam bam bam. Bam bam bam.
That's a jam.
Bam bam bam.
Here we go.
Bam bam bam.
Look at dance.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Brandon Chalmers.
Jiminy Gucci.
What are you geeking on today?
Two things. One, I am currently doing a super secret but not so secret project for one super art fight, the greatest live art competition in the known universe, that happens to involve possibly newfangled fancy pants stickers.
Bear, 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 bear.
Woo, that's right, kids. Old Papa Bear is putting together your sticker packs. If you ordered or happen to be home game, we putting them together for you. So things are becoming real. So
Hand-packed. I noticed that you are still here, which means Gibson Music Company did not contact you. So I'm very sad about that. But it means sticker packs are happening.
Yes, the sticker packs are happening anyway, so enough about the depressing short story that is my life. Stickers are happening, kids. Stickers. Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, I am potentially making a small financial life change, so I am working on something. But because of that, I'm learning Spanish for the first time in my life.
Oh.
As a practical skill. Oh. So I'm making flashcards, and I've got myself books, and I've got myself a little, like, books on tape sort of thing. And so
are you thinking about owning your own contracting company so you can build roofs and stuff?
No, I'm actually thinking about opening up a taco truck, and this is just more – I'm kidding. I'm genuinely kidding.
Oh, motherfucker. Yeah. Oh, I was getting excited.
The direction I may be heading in may be a more Hispanic-dominated workforce, and therefore I think the respectful and intelligent thing I can do is learn the language of the people. So I think at the very least I should do is understand at least some of the language, so this way I can at least work my broken Spanglish way through everything. And I assume it'll be like any other culture that I know nothing about. If I continue to just kind of go, hey, I know absolutely nothing about your culture, please be gentle, I'm a moron, most people are like, oh, okay, you're not a dick who just assumes that he knows everything.
Yeah.
And usually they're kind enough to drag me by the hand. I found this with everything from, you know, like super Christian Southern white people to, Thai people to the African-American community. Like, every community that I find myself in, from a friend or a friend of a friend, where I end up in like some food truck or a market or wherever it is, like, I found kindness and openness to just kind of go, I know nothing, but I want to learn, tends to give me a pretty good response in most cases. So
yeah, I think so.
I'll have that attitude about that. And so finally doing that, because I never actually bothered to do that in high school. I took a year of French and then got myself into the printing and graphic arts program at one overly high school. That's right. I didn't have to take a foreign language, and look at me now.
I took two. I took French in high school, which is totally useful now because I retain so much of it.
In all fairness, it is relatively useful because your wife's family is French.
Well, yeah. So,
at the very least, you know when people are talking about you behind your back.
Yeah, I can understand certain phrases, but like I don't know the grammar, so that's a big problem. And then I also took a year of German in college.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
You wanted to be that guy?
I wanted to try something different, I guess. And
yeah.
I thought,
no. I mean, that makes sense.
Try German.
All right.
Well, good luck on your new endeavor. Is it going to be a job change, or is it just going to be like an extra thing that you're going to be doing? Or
I am not 100% sure, and I don't know if I want to elaborate any farther. So right now it is an open conversation that is happening, and I am taking a proactive thought, because even if I don't end up making this this change, I figure Spanish is a good thing to know.
I think so.
I treat it like probably sign language, like anything else. Like if a large enough population around you speaks or communicates in a certain way, you should understand it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I may not know what on fleek means, but I'm going to learn all of fucking Spanish. That's, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'll always be an old, Jamie. Always be an old. What about you, sir? What you geeking about?
Because you have locked yourself off from social media, may not... Well, you're on Instagram, so you might be seeing vestiges of this latest thing. I don't know the history behind this. I don't know the game that this is from, but if you look up hashtag Bowsette, you will see many artists drawing Bowser as a woman with a crown on her head. Apparently there's a new Mario game coming out where I think it's one of the Toads puts on a crown and turns into a Peachette or something like that.
Okay. I mean, I know when they did Super Mario Galaxy, Bowser was dressed in a wedding gown, I believe.
Okay. Well,
B-O-W's. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Bowsette. It is the hottest trend, and it just started this week. So I feel like we're on the bleeding edge of memes with this one. But there's a lot of fan art. A lot of it is porny, so if you like the boobs, that's great. But what I like about the different versions of Bowsette, they're all like super muscular, and a lot of them are like really buff. A lot of them are darker skinned, and that's not something usually you see in the fan art community. Usually, you see a lot of like whitewashing, and like it's still booby. But I feel like a lot of the Bowsette stuff is
it's very chesty.
It's very chesty, but I feel like it's spanning different. Like there are people doing light skinned versions of Bowsette. There are people doing dark skinned versions of Bowsette. There are people doing like green skinned versions of Bowsette. And I like that it's attracting so much diversity in terms of not only skin colors but body shapes. Because you get the husky like massive bodybuilder ones, and then you get the little twee versions, and then you get people doing crazy shit like turning Bullet Bill into like a Bill Bet, or what I saw like a Bull Bet or Bill Bet or something like that. You have people drawing Goombas as girls who are just kind of like angry and stuff, so it's just kind of exploded on the webs. And it's a nice distraction in the times that we live. Cosplayers are even starting to like put together quick cosplays and dressing up as Bowsette.
All right.
And posting photos and stuff. So I don't know if you've come across this in your Instagram travels.
No.
But it's all over Twitter. So.
Okay. Yeah. In my Instagram world, I tend to avoid the following things: video games, nerdy people who I don't personally know, and nerdy people talking about video games that I don't know. So none of these things have hit my radar. Like, unless we're talking about, let's see, old Japanese cars, going out and hiking, dogs, skateboarding, and any one of the combination of those, because I think that might be – oh, and tattoo art. I don't really know about it from Instagram.
Well, like, it's only a matter of time before Bowsette tattoos start popping up.
No, and that's fine. And I'm sure by saying it out loud, Facebook's listening, and the Instagrams for Bowsette will start popping into my feed any minute now.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's fun, and I'm sure it's gone crazy raunchy.
Yeah, Disney internet does that though. Like, God, I wish we could have a nice thing for a while.
But some of them are really cool. Some of them are just like, here's a really muscular chick that has horns and stuff.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong about the diversity. I do, I always find it a little concerning when the first thing we do is sexualize a cartoon character. Like, there's something just like, and I get it. My generation is the one who grew up with Jessica Rabbit. We've been doing it since before I could remember.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
Like, in this Pornhub age, do we really need to give the cartoon character a great set of breasts?
Oh my,
like, do we?
Oh my God, I cannot wait for the porn parody.
Oh, Bowsette. I guarantee you, it's already happened.
I bet she's gonna be a big hit at like furry cons this season. I think this one has legs. Like, of all the crazy weird fan art things, I think this one's going to stick around for a while.
God damn it. Now all I really want is just, can we like draw up some Goombas like ZZ Top and just randomly slide by of all of the female Mario characters to ZZ Top? She's got legs.
Yeah. That'd be great.
We'll have to put the Goombas on boxes or something like that so the guitars can spin. Yeah. They're a little too short. We could use Koopas. I'm sure we could put beards on some Koopas. Like, fuck it. We could just take like, let's see, what else, what do we have? We've got Cranky Kong. He had a beard. Who else has got? Fuck, the Mario universe is real short on beards.
A lot of mustaches.
A lot of mustaches, not a lot of beards.
No.
Is that a Japanese thing?
I have no idea.
Like, cause they've got like, I'm trying to. No, I mean, yeah. I guess the Japanese culture really isn't super beard heavy, is it?
Nobunaga.
Like, it's very goatee strong.
Yeah, Nobunaga has one. It depends on the depiction of Nobunaga.
This is what I'm saying. Like, there's not a ton of beards that I remember from my limited, admittedly, exposure to most anime or most Japanese culture. I mean, even most Americanized Japanese culture.
I think,
like,
Gendo has a beard from Evangelion.
Okay.
But you can't tell because he's doing this the entire time.
So right, yeah, I was going to say, like, most of the beards you see are, like, super tiny. Like, nobody's got, like, a strong beard.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Yeah, even the guy in Full Metal Alchemist has, like, a very nice mustache. But no,
yeah, he's got
no
super nice mustache. I'm trying to think, like, the grandfather from Avatar, I think, had a sweet beard. Because his, like, came to a point at the chin edges,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Uncle Iroh
yes,
had a great beard.
Uncle Iroh, okay. So that's like one.
Yeah. And I don't know if Avatar counts as anime, although it's probably animated in Asia.
My thought is more of a Japanese-based culture sort of program. I would put Avatar not as an Americanized thing, at least not in my head. If I'm totally wrong about that, I'm totally wrong about that.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah. Uncle Iroh has a great beard. I'm trying to think of other bearded characters.
I'm just assuming, based on the character names, that is more of an Asian-based culture when it comes to the storyline and everything of it. Maybe I'm wrong.
There's a version of Akuma who has, like, mutton chops there.
Oh, wait. Ryu. Super badass Ryu has a beard.
Oh, right.
And he's strong.
Yeah. Oh, and there.
I assume Ken does, too, at that point, because if Ryu does, then Ken does.
Who's Akuma's brother? Goken? Goken
has
He has a massive beard.
Okay.
There are a handful of beards.
Yeah, there's a handful of beards, but it's not a very strong beard culture.
Yeah.
Interesting. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Pulled us off of course.
Yes, Bowsette, look it up. Be aware that you will see some things that you may not have thought of before, but...
Yeah. Look, kids, turn safe search on for once. Search it, find the characters, see how kinky you want to get.
Yeah.
Trust you, maybe turn a private window on. Don't get yourself on a watch list. Just saying.
All right. That was pretty short for once.
Yep.
So... on our list for this week, we have Dip in Dots.
Okay.
Now, I did not put this on the list, so...
I did. I know I did. In my constant, let's see, Dip
in Dots. So, before we get too deep into this, for my birthday 1 year, I wanted cupcakes with Dippin' Dots sprinkles. because I figured that like Dippin' Dots are fun, cupcakes are fun, two fun things put together, that would be awesome. So for my birthday 1 year, Audrey got cupcakes from Georgetown Cupcake and Dippin' Dots from Pentagon City Mall.
Okay.
And we just went and dumped all, like, cleaned off the frosting. I think I put a little bit of frosting, left a little bit of frosting, but mm-hmm. I figured you'd want to get the frosting out of the way, because that would just kind of confuse your face. And so I put the Dippin' Dots on as sprinkles, and it was kind of amazing. Because you had the soft cake of the cupcake, and then the freezing, puckering, all the different dots stuck to your face. So it was a good cold cake, freezy, sweet mixture thing going on that I kind of liked, and I was upset that I couldn't actually buy this on the regular, because neither Dippin' Dots nor any of the cupcake places offer this combination.
Fair enough. Okay, so realistically, I'm going down a quick Wikipedia rabbit hole to see where we are. So, Jamie, the whole kind of presence of Dippin' Dots and why I put Dippin' Dots on the list is more stemmed from the name Dippin' Dots and also from, more importantly, its slogan. Now,
okay.
Take a guess. Just take a guess. When was Dippin' Dots founded?
I'm going to guess it's sometime in the 80s.
Okay.
And that it didn't really gain prominence until like late 90s.
Okay. So it was founded in 88.
Yes.
In 92, it acquired a patent on its ice cream, and it had already been at market selling ice cream for a year, which is why the patent was unenforceable. So,
oh, shit.
That means in 1991, okay, Dippin' Dots was calling itself the ice cream of the future. Now, let's see. Top songs 1991. Let's see. What was on the radio? Let's see. Everything I Do It For You by Bryan Adams.
Oh, that Robin Hood movie must have been big then.
Yeah. Let's see. OPP by Naughty by Nature. One Mark Wahlberg hit the scene with his Funky Bunch with the jam Good Vibrations.
He also hit a black man, so fuck Marky Mark.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let's see. Bonnie Raitt was giving you something to talk about. REM signed up with the B-52s and did Shining Happy People. What I'm getting at is, you know, Boyz II Men was just coming out with Motown Philly. Now, at this point, Dippin' Dots is claiming that it's the ice cream of the future.
Today, now, that's still their slogan?
That is still their slogan today.
They fucking lying, yo.
Now, that means that Dippin' Dots has been in business for 30 years. And they are still claiming to this day that they are the ice cream of the future. Now, Jamie Noguchi, I am first and foremost a man of science. And I profess to you, there has to be a new ice cream of the future.
We
have to continue to improve ice cream technology.
Yeah.
There's liquid nitrogen for one. Like, we have better ice cream of the future.
Yeah.
Like, would you not argue that Cold Stone Creamery, with its cold chiseled like cold plate thing that they have, folding in other toppings and everything, would you not agree that that is new ice cream technology?
Well, and then there's a remix of that. There's like a place in Rockville that does the same thing, but they
roll it, right?
Yeah, they do the roll thing.
Right, so what I'm saying is that Dippin' Dots has been riding this bullshit slogan for 30 years. In 1991, when Marky Mark was singing Good Vibrations, yes, I will agree, Dippin' Dots was the ice cream of the future.
Yeah.
And I dare say, and I understand that you enjoyed it on a cupcake.
Yeah.
I have issues with cupcakes.
Oh, okay.
That's a separate episode. An adult, use a fork and knife. Get a real piece of cake. If you're a child, you can enjoy a cupcake. That aside, Dippin' Dots is bullshit. It's shitty ice cream.
So are you saying that we should be
doing that?
We should be actually eating the ice cream of the future.
I'm saying we are eating the ice cream of the future, and I dare say we need to storm the Dippin' Dots factory in Paducah, Kentucky, and we need to set them straight. Hear me now. Feel free. I beg of you, Jamie Noguchi fans, Brandon Chalmers fans, Art Fight fans, at Dippin' Dots, you know I'm not going to do it. I don't have Twitter. I'm an old man shouting at an ice cream company. But I beg of you, we start the groundswell right now.
I
asked the Dippin' Dots. The Dippin' Dots R&D department has had 30 years to improve itself, Jamie Noguchi, and it has done shit. The Taco Bell R&D department has come out with, I dare say, countless different ideas in the last 30 years, and they use the same potentially 12 ingredients.
That's true. Dippin' Dots. All right, let's see what's like, going on with Dippin' Dots. What are they doing currently? Dippin' Dots.
The same shit. Only this time they're filing for Chapter 11, and they're damn near out of business because they can't get their shit together.
Wait, are they really in Chapter 11?
Let me see here. Let's see. On May 18th, 2012, U.S. Bankruptcy Court approved the purchase of the company by Scott Fisher and his father, Mark Fisher. The Fishers co-founded Chaparral Energy in Oklahoma. So they got bought by an energy company in Oklahoma.
Oh my God.
It's nothing sacred. Not even ice cream of the future can get out of oil and strip mining money. Like, yeah. They can't. Let's see.
They don't. So they have, like, they have the Dippin' Dots. They have this thing called Dot Sundays where they do mix-ins, which is basically Blizzard, right, but Dippin' Dot. They do Yo Dots.
But hang on a second. How can it be a Blizzard and a Dippin' Dots? All you're doing then is dropping Whoppers inside of, like, packing peanuts. They're going to sink to the bottom, and nothing soaks in. Yeah. The Dippin' Dots is a flawed product.
They got recipes. They got, oh my gosh.
What recipes?
Yeah.
They've got, like, what, five flavors? It's chocolate, vanilla, rainbow, and that's it.
Banana split, birthday cake, caramel brownie sundae, brownie batter, bubblegum. Yeah, so, I mean,
bullshit brownie sundae. There's no brownie bits to be had in that. Yeah. That's fucking chocolate and chocolate. The fuck out of here. Like, you know what I really want to do? I'd love to sit the 165 current employees of the Dippin' Dots Corporation down to a blind taste test and see if they can tell me the difference in between their chocolate and their brownie batter, because I'm betting they can't.
In their, at least according to their website, they don't have any of the like ice cream of the future as their tagline. It just says Dippin' Dots ice cream. So maybe they're trying to get away from that.
Maybe they are, but I just like, you've had 30 years, Dippin' Dots.
So do you want to rehabilitate the brand, or do you want something new?
I want the newest ice cream. Jamie Noguchi, what I'm saying is that we have built a better mousetrap.
We have.
We have single-handedly saved Gibson guitars.
Yes, we have.
We have figured out the dessert, ramen.
Yeah.
We understand both food, culture, and technology. We are at the forefront of leadership in this. We are the world. Like, this is what Live Aid was singing about.
The world is crying out for a better ice cream.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, this Springsteen bellowed into a microphone when we were children, so we can do this. We can discover the newest ice cream. But I'm telling you, Jamie, we can do better.
Is the answer a new ice cream, or is the answer a better ice cream experience? Because, like, I feel like Dippin' Dots will always be a novelty thing, but it's never going to be your default ice cream. You're never going to, like, when you're going to ice cream, when Hazel wants an ice cream, she's not thinking Dippin' Dots. She's not thinking Rita, she's not thinking frozen custard. She's thinking flavors. She's thinking, I want vanilla and I want fucking sprinkles.
Okay,
and,
right on.
And so, like, from the standpoint of the most discerning palate, the most discriminating palate I know.
That's fair.
She wants, she's more interested in the flavor than the brand. Like, brand loyalty has not set in at 4 years old.
Okay.
So I think the only way to win someone over like that is not to create something new or like a remix of a new, but to like give them a, an experience they can't get anywhere else. I think. I don't know.
You think. I think. Right. But I mean, this is the idea, is the world's completely new and exciting to four-year-olds. That's four-year-olds true. Don't buy anything.
That's true, too. That's true, too.
You do.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, Jamie Noguchi, what is the thing that would, like, I know what would make me experience ice cream of the future.
Mm.
But what would it make you, like, what, when I say, Jamie Noguchi, this is the ice cream of the future, we are somewhere, foreign city, you and I traveling for Art Fight, traveling for a show, and I tell you, dude, I know we just got done dinner, but I know of a place, it's about a mile's walk, so we're going to have to put some effort in.
Okay.
But there is the ice cream of the future, and you have to experience it.
Okay.
What in your head says ice cream of the future?
That's a very good question. Because there's a lot, like, of there's a lot of weird molecular gastronomy stuff that
okay,
I don't know
right.
about. Like the water cake, which is just basically, for lack of a better term, a blob of water that you poke and you eat somehow. But
okay.
I don't know. That's like hipstery.
Right, and that's the question, is like, if I told you it's the ice cream, it's the new way to enjoy ice cream,
mm-hmm.
what would be the thing that you'd be like, yeah, I have to have this?
I mean, if it was like a Gundam, or like a robot made of ice cream,
then, okay.
Like, or,
okay, so ice cream formed in specific shapes then?
Or like, I don't know, because to me, ice cream is one of those things that it triggers a memory. Like, you're not eating ice cream, you're eating your memories. Like, when you go to the ice cream store, when you go to Rita's, you're not mm-hmm. eating Rita's, you're eating your memory of hanging out with your friends after school or whatever, and you know, this ice cream brings you back to that time. Like, we take Hazel to Rita's, and when she grows up, she's gonna have that memory. So like, eating ice cream for her is gonna be, you know what I'm saying? Like, ice cream isn't a now thing. Ice cream is always about the memories of the ice cream that you've had before. It's like one okay. of those comfort desserts that evokes so much history and nostalgia for you. It's like, you know,
okay.
it's like your favorite cartoon, but if your favorite cartoon was actually good and not shit. So.
Right, which is impossible, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Okay.
So what is the ice cream of the future for you? Because I'm still thinking about it.
Well, because here's the thing. For me, when I hear ice cream of the future, I think immediately bullshit. And then my brain goes to, well, what's the old tagline of the future? And I think immediately of like old world's fairs. So then I like the idea of it almost being this kind of dreamy sort of, almost like, I don't know if it's like silver rocking ships of the 50s or like Jetson sort of thing, but like
I think
like polished silver everything's and ray guns and like really cool like Americana classic sci-fi sort of experience. And when I think that sort of thing, I think a certain clientele, and I don't think your daughter. And what I think of is, I think of hipsters, I think of people like mm-hmm. myself, I think of you, and I think that this clientele is older, they have liquid income, and that they don't want to just experience a certain thing. These are the barcade generation.
Yeah,
these are people who want to go out and experience the things of their childhood while also experiencing the things of their current life or their future, or an escape from their current reality.
The Fallout aesthetic with like the Nuka-Cola, where it's like,
maybe,
it's retro, but it's futuristic because it's got that ray gun.
Yeah, but I'd like a little less dystopian stuff.
Cleaner.
Yeah. Like, I almost, like, when I think of it, I think of like classic 50s malt shop.
Yeah.
But with a very cool, like, throwback robots and ray guns kind of feel to it.
Fins on
fins on everything, neon lights everywhere, and like a real experience. Like you walk in, you're like, this place is fucking cool. And you go looking around, you're like, this is really neat. And it's got little nods to all of the science fiction through the years and what have you. And the big kicker for me is an experience that I can't get at my grocer's freezer. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the key thing.
Yeah.
I do think that a place like this, for someone who does not enjoy the things that I enjoy, should be able to have their options of a traditional, you know, banana split or a traditional cone or a couple of different cool flavors or whatever it is. And I am and have always been someone who says, don't be a jack of all trades, be a master of one. Mm-hmm. Do five flavors and fucking knock them out of the park.
Yeah, like make super saturated so strawberry, like the most strawberry.
Yes, the sweetest, freshest vanilla that is hand-churned and done the right way. And they only make but so much ice cream every day. And you treat it like a classic barbecue place.
Yeah.
There's only but so much to go around every day. And it is an experience. And the way that I would do it and I would enjoy it is you end up using science to flash freeze alcohol. And you do boozy infused ice cream along with your shop. You make it one part bar, one part science fiction experience.
Okay.
You make it basically a like, hey, yeah, we went out to dinner and we had a couple drinks at dinner, but I don't want to go out to a club. I don't want to go to a danky looking bar. I'm on a date. I'm with friends. I want to go experience something cool and different. I'm going to go to this ice cream shop and we're going to go get a milkshake. And it's going to be bourbon infused ice cream with a salted caramel thing on it because it really mixes well. And we're going to do it in a proper malt shop. And you're going to get it in a nice, big, tall, hefty glass with a long as fuck spoon.
Oh, yeah.
With like a spaceship on the end of that spoon. And you'll be like, this place put some fucking fin
on it.
Big fucking fins all over. Yeah, like. And it's going to be an experience, and you get done, and you know it'll feel a lot like Pulp Fiction, where you're like, I got to try a $5 milkshake because I don't know what deserves a five. But I'm talking more like a $12 milkshake because it's got a bunch of booze in it.
Yeah.
But fuck, you're only going to go there but so often. This is not a you know an everyday sort of experience. This is a I want to go and I want this thing because I can't get it somewhere else sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I like this idea. I like the idea of the venue. I like the idea of the decor. I want to see, and I like the idea of using science. So like, instead of just seeing these big machines churning things, maybe you like you have your ingredients, you pour them, and then like within seconds it becomes ice cream or something like that, or like experiment stuff table side.
And we could do, you know, we could even go super hard with the science theme and mash up a bit of nerdiness, and like all of the people who are there are dressed as I don't know, doctors and scientists from your favorite science fiction movie. Someone's dressed like Doc Brown. Someone's dressed like Dr. Horrible. Like we can mix all of these science bros from your childhood together, and we have them making your ice cream for you. One part Cold Stone, one part Corner Bar, one part realistic, cool, classic, niche experience that you go in and you enjoy.
You know, if we had the money, we could easily set this up at San Diego Comic-Con and make a fucking mint, because it is the ice cream of the future, because it's the experience of the future, because it's from a future that doesn't exist, which makes it timeless.
There it is.
It makes it timeless.
That's it. Nobody wants to experience this future.
No, this is...
This future sucks.
Yeah, this is awful. No flying cars, no fins. There are no fins.
Yeah. There's no fins, there's no speed suits, there's no like...
There's no chrome. There's no chrome.
God damn it. Everything this should needs be to chrome. Be...
This Thank fucking you. Thing should be a mirror, and you no, put... That... It should
this
be...
This thing should be see-through.
Yeah.
And it should fucking pop up everywhere. It should be on my
It should be like
wrist.
This.
Should pop up. Yes.
I should be like this, and like...
Yes.
This needs fins and chrome.
Yes. And this is what I'm saying. Like... I miss that future. For all of the bullshit and terribleness that happened in the 50s and 60s in our culture, there was a really cool design aesthetic that was happening with especially cars.
Uh-huh.
Cars and science fiction movies had this like,
oh yeah,
no, fuck it. we're going to make everything big and swooping, because we had this idea of like, we're going to the fucking moon.
And those big,
we're going to race to the stars.
The cone light for
the cone, because everything looked like a fucking rocket thruster. Yeah. Like, that was the idea. Everything was designed to look fast and go slow.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to experience life, but you wanted to look cool doing it.
Yeah.
The 50, like that classic Cadillac convertible. You know, big, long body lines, pointy tail lights, big ass fins. And it was hot looking in any color you painted it.
Oh, yeah.
But when you saw, like, the idea of the predominant, like, 50s cool, as I dare say to a one Marty Day a nod, a Blastorama sort of spaceship,
yeah,
was candy apple red chrome striping and chrome accents.
Auto era candy colors. Yeah, man.
Yes. And it was like, and it was shiny and it was gorgeous. And you were like, man, that is a future I want to be a part of.
I would clean up some of the lines just a little bit, but I would do a modern take on that 50s style, but
yeah.
I fucking want to see it.
Yeah,
I fucking want to see it.
I want that aesthetic. I miss that. And that is what I think of when I think of the ice cream of the future.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the technology.
No.
I argue that maybe we've reached the pinnacle. And I'd argue that ice cream is timeless, as you said. I don't know if we necessarily need to improve how ice cream is done. I know there's already technology. I know there's already boozy ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware that there's infusions. I'm aware there's gastronomy. Like, I'm aware that there are techniques already existing in the science that we have right now that we can do exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying the experience of being able to almost go back in time and kind of experience this time capsule. And I know I'm compressing decades together, but kind of like,
it
was, here's the thing is like, if you scratched out all of the 70s, right? And you took the design aesthetic of the 50s and early 60s and the music of the 80s and combined them together. And it was like silver chrome spaceships and big fins and Oingo Boingo blasting in the background. Mm. It's kind of that like,
yeah.
It hits all of your nostalgia buttons all at the same time and gives you an experience that you've never had anywhere else.
A little neon, a little metal flake here.
Yeah.
Some, like, man.
Yeah, it's one part hot rod. It's one part, like, new wave.
Yeah.
It's like, kind of this compromise of something, like, you'd love to see and your grandfather would love to see all at the same time.
Yeah.
If you both walked in, you went, this place is pretty cool.
Yeah.
We've hit it on the
head. Yeah, because the lines would appeal to both of those sets. And it would just,
yes,
there's something about it that you just need to reach out and touch and experience.
Some designs are timeless. You see this especially in classic cars. Some designs are just timeless.
Just
there's a reason why they
can
go back to them. Put fins on it.
Yeah.
Put long sweeping body lines on every.
Shit, man.
Yeah, man.
You could have like a car show out in front and
always. Always. But this is what I'm saying, Jamie. Like that cool mix of like, we could finally combine the two worlds. We could combine baby boomers who have the money to have classic cars and hipsters who want that aesthetic.
Yeah.
We can finally bring them together around a malt shop of all things.
Boozy ice cream malt shop.
Boozy ice cream malt shop. It's the thing, like, it's the thing that we're finally mixing. It's new gastronomy and new ways to drink, which hipsters fucking love.
Oh, yeah.
And we can just in an area, like just outside the city, so it's just close enough for them to get to, and then we add the decor of everything that's going to draw in some of the older people, and we find a nice safe ground, and we treat it, it's Switzerland, it's
yeah,
the neutral zone, it's a church in Highlander, it is ground
yeah,
that no one talks any shit, there's a no politics rule right on the fucking thing,
yeah,
and all you guys do is watch old sci-fi movies together, and you joke around about cool shit, and you admire each other's stuff, and it turns into a way to bring together cultures because we can all get around timeless design
yeah,
and fucking ice cream.
Yeah.
That's two things that every single generation, from as far as I can remember to as far as I can possibly see, can all agree on.
And you put truffle. Truffle oil on everything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, good looks and great taste never go out of style.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the way to go. And it doesn't matter if it's freeze dried or whatever. Like that experience, that whole everything. That's everything.
Yeah.
Like that's the future. That's That's your memories. That's nostalgia. That's the hopeful future that people in the 30s and the 20s and the 30s had. And it's like that nostalgia for us who are now looking back at that time as like a simpler time. And it has that future. I love this idea. I wish you and I were independently wealthy so we could do some of these fucking things, because I need, like, next year when we go to San Diego, I need to go to this place, and it's going to gut me that it's not fucking there.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to want to go there. And like I said, Jamie, I know you are one to not necessarily get down on the booze, but at the same time, I know if you could get a rad, sundae or milkshake or whatever it is at a place with that cool aesthetic, you'd love to be able to hang out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think this would be the way to get people together. We can find a community that is capable of doing it. There's all of these hipster neighborhoods that are popping up all around all major cities. We have it, especially here in Baltimore. We could put this literally on the avenue in Hamilton and just have them just pop it up right next to one of the corner bars. There's already the Charmery or something like that, I think, is down there.
Yeah.
And they do great ice cream. We just kind of do that, but I honestly wonder better, maybe not necessarily flavor-wise, but like experience-wise.
Yeah.
I want that experience.
God damn. All right.
I want to be able to remove myself from reality, if only for just an ice cream sundae.
Oh, yeah.
But man, I want to be able to experience that. I want to walk into a place and have it remove me from where I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to walk in and go, oh, place is fucking cool. And you spend my entire time in line looking around at all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
And wander around, find all the memorabilia and all the cool shit. Like, I don't necessarily want it to be like a TGI Fridays level kind of messy, but like just a lot of cool shit and like design.
A futuristic jukebox.
Like, damn. All that cool, like what you would imagine somebody from the 50s and 60s thinking the future was gonna be.
Oh, yeah.
Because that shit is always cool.
We get a little Sid Mead stuff designed in there. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, best design. Hang on. I think there's a car that I remember. Lincoln Futura, I believe. Yeah.
We get a DeLorean and we put fucking fins on that shit.
Yeah, dude. If you're looking for my design aesthetic, you want to search a Lincoln Futura, F-U-T-U-R-A. It was never put into production. It was the vehicle that the Batmobile is actually based off of.
Oh, yeah,
off
girl. Of. Fuck, yeah.
It had a dome shape to it that had a dip in the middle, so it was like a little Get Smart with the cone of silence. And it actually had on the back of it a microphone on the outside so that you could hear people and things that were going on the inside, because you were encapsulated in the delight that was this car. The rolled back because they wanted to hide everything.
Ravel did all a model kit of it.
Yeah, all of the grill pieces are individual teeth that are put in. Like, it is drool worthy, and it is like probably the best example of this design aesthetic. Yeah. I want that, and I want to have that experience.
Yeah.
That rolled leather, that cushy kind of experience that the future is now sort of feel, and be able to enjoy it while I'm having some bourbon infused ice cream.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's everything I want. It's a treat. It's a visual experience. It's a bit of alcohol.
Yeah. We need rich friends, Brandon.
Yeah, no, we totally do. And if you happen to know someone rich, or if you are rich, feel free to hit your boy up. I'll do terrible things for money, and as Jamie Noguchi can attest, I am probably one of the best right-hand men in the business.
Oh, yeah.
I rarely ever tell you no. I'll get up at weird hours to do dumb things. And if you call me and you say, Brandon, you need to find your boots, I know there's going to be something bad. Is it mud? Is it blood? I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to show up. That's the kind of person I am.
God damn.
See, this is what I'm saying.
I am really going to be pissed next year. Where are we going to go? We can't go to this fucking ice cream place that I want.
No, we can't, because it doesn't exist, because no one will fucking pay me to do it. This is what I'm saying, Jamie Noguchi. I'm full of great ideas. None of them are going anywhere. You had no idea I was going this direction with Dippin' Dots, did you?
No.
No clue.
No.
No. No, you thought I was going to piss and moan about little speckly rabbit turd looking ice cream for half an hour. No, no, sir. I have an optimistic view of the future, a future that we may never experience. But man, was there a glimmer in Kennedy's eye when he first sent everyone to the moon. Mm-hmm. And that's the life I want to see. And that's the ice cream I want to taste.
Yeah. I love this idea. Motherfucker.
It is the ice cream that I imagine you and I would be enjoying right now if Bobby Kennedy were president. That's the ice cream that I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
A future that never was.
Yeah. I just want to look at it. I just want to look at the place. I want to look at the interior. Yeah. I want to look at the signs.
Ice cream of someone else's future. That's really what it is.
Yeah, yeah. The future, ice cream of the future that will never be.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it says ice cream into the future with an asterisk, and then way the fuck down the bottom.
Yeah, we ain't gonna get here, but fuck it.
Anywho's it, but yeah, that's my idea.
I like your idea.
I appreciate that.
That's my idea of the ice cream of the future.
Yeah, kids, do yourself a favor if you haven't done it already. Look at that Lincoln Futura, start flipping through everything, and look at the fucking interior of that car, because that is how I would design the inside of the restaurant. That fucking dash is a 20. Oof. It's a roll-top desk made individually of billet steel polished pieces. It is fucking gorgeous.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I once again managed to try to turn everyone I know into a car nerd, because goddammit, it's relevant everywhere. Everywhere. That's right, Jamie Noguchi. I'm bringing together ice cream, booze, cars, nerds, and the future.
I'm there for the fucking paint jobs. I just want to go in there with some auto air colors and, like, you know, candy chrome and, like, candy colors and just spray everything.
Let's do the thing. Let's put Jamie Noguchi to work. Kids, do I need to fire up Sarah McLachlan? That's right. For just a few $100,000 of startup capital, you too can put a spray gun in Jamie Noguchi's hands and let him candy apple fucking everything. I promise to never, ever actually play Sarah McLachlan in this establishment. That's a promise I can make to you.
All right, Brandon. Well, I think we can stop digging because you struck gold, my friend.
That's right. That's right.
And now I want to make a lot of money so that we can make this happen. And that's not going to happen because I chose comics as my... my vacation. That's okay. So
I chose cardboard, so you know.
Oh my god. All right. Well, Brandon, if people are interested in investing in any of our amazing ideas, where can they hit you up? Or should they hit us up at the generic email?
They should hit us up at the email. Jamie Noguchi, that email is
info@fuckingdoitcast.com. It's awesome. Fucking with an IN, not an ING. So fuckingdoitcast.com.
Awesome. And for anybody who wants to email me separately and chew me out, it's brandon.chalmers@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram @thatguychalmers. And Jamie Noguchi, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram @JamieNoguchi. So that's just my name. And then you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. I do a lot of Twitter @angryzenmaster.com or angryzenmaster. Angry Zen Master. I forget. Just fucking look me up. You just find my stuff. I'm
you,
around.
You know where to find that Jamie Noguchi. And by the way, you can find Super Art Fight coming up at New York Comic Con. We're going to be playing the Anime Fest there on October 4th. That would be a Thursday at 2:45 in the afternoon.
Oh boy.
So if you happen to be there, please show up. Please say hi to our boys. We're making a trip on a Thursday for you kids. Also, more importantly, you'll be able to see quite a few of us. We are kicking the crap out of Anime USA in Washington, D.C. So if you have a chance to come hang out with us, we are doing shows all weekend. We are hanging out in force. It's going to be all sorts of us hanging out at this show. So come hang out. I plan on carrying a handle of bourbon around with me, possibly in a Baby Bjorn on my chest. So if you'd like to come get drunk with a one Brandon Chalmers, we can come up with all sorts of terrible ideas. Put me on your podcast. Fuck it. Why not? And I'll be happy to hang out with each and every one of you.
Are we scheduled for an Unleashed next weekend?
Next weekend at New York Comic Con?
No. Wait. When is the weekend of AUSA?
Anime.
Is that in October?
That is in October. That's October 19th is the weekend of that.
Is there an Unleashed?
There is an Unleashed on Saturday the 20th.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you get to hang out. I believe that is at 9 p.m. And please bear in mind, kids, don't hold me to that. The schedule is subject to change, but to my understanding, regular show Friday night, October 19th at 8 p.m., an Art Fight Unleashed, a very drunken Art Fight Unleashed happening at 9 p.m. So please come out, hang out with us. Bourbon will be poured. You can hang out with a one Papa Bear. So we can go and we'll shut the bar down at the hotel. And if we shut that down, we'll find another bar around there. We shut that one down. We've got hotel rooms. So fuck it. Let's get drunk. Let's do the thing. It'll be fun.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Ice cream.